I'm gonna stay right under. I'm gonna stay. Oh Lord, I stay under His blood. I'm gonna stay right under His blood. Where the devil can. Oh, I'm gonna stay. I'm gonna. Don't you wanna stay under His blood? No better place to be. Then be under His blood, I'm gonna stay right under blood. Where the devil can do me no harm. Harm no harm, oh do me no harm. Oh you do me no harm, no harm, no harm, no harm. Where the devil, oh you do me no harm. Devil can, oh, I'm gonna stay, I'm gonna, oh, we are brothers and sisters under His blood, no visitors under His blood, oh, one in Christ, where the devil can, oh, I will stay, I'm gonna stay right under His blood, under His blood, I'm gonna stay right under blood, where the devil can do me no harm. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's give a hand clap to the Lord. You can sit down, brother. Now, Patrick, you first. There's a mic over there. Oh.
Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
My name is Brother Patrick. I am originally from Belfast, Northern Ireland. I come from a really Catholic background. My wife is Catholic. I have one son. His name is Lewis Alexander. I'm going to have to just move over here.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes, when I got married, I moved to Dublin from Belfast. Initially, it was good. I found it okay. You know, Dublin, great city, great people. But I ran into trouble. I was on the wrong side of the law. I got involved with some bad people, and I ended up getting going to court and getting 4 months suspended sentence, which means if I get in trouble again, I go to prison. I kept myself clean. I didn't get into trouble. I was keeping okay. Not going to church. Not doing anything like that. But still keeping quiet. And then I ran into some financial trouble. And even unbelievers, even atheists, when they come into trouble, they pray to God. You know, the last thing they'll say is, please God help me, you know. When they have no way out of this trouble, the thing they'll say, please God help me. And that's what I've done. I haven't prayed in years. But I remember being in that trouble, financial trouble. And I saying, God, please help me. Because I can't see a way out. I couldn't see a way out. So I know this is wrong, but I had bought a lottery ticket 2-3 days before that. And when I prayed, God, please help me with my finances, I won some money on the lottery ticket. Yeah, I know. The first thing I purchased was a Bible. It's sitting over there. First thing I bought was a Bible. And the second thing I done was look for a good church. Look for a good church in Dublin. I went to a few of them. It did not suit until I found this one. I came one Wednesday night. George was playing. I was sitting there. I was very frightened. I didn't know what to expect of these crazy Christians, you know. I didn't know what to look for, you know. And I sat and I listened to the word, and it really spoke to me. God really touched me, you know. And I've been coming here ever since. Every Wednesday night, every Tuesday, or every Friday, sorry. And today, I'm here to take the plunge, go under the flood today. And be with God, you know. I was in court last week, and I was facing prison. It is the sad truth, you know, due to driving offences. My solicitor said, you may say your goodbyes because you are going to prison, you know. So I said, okay, I said my goodbyes to my family. I made peace with my family. I went to court that morning. But Brother George says to me, if you do the Lord's work, he will do yours.
Amen.
You have no worry about court. Don't worry about prison. I didn't believe him. I said, no way. I said, I'm definitely going to prison. I went to court. The judge was handing people very harsh sentences. And I was like, oh my God. I said, Lord, please. Please help me. If you help me, if you get me out of this situation, next Sunday, I will be baptized.
Amen.
I was doubtful. That's the devil in me. I have doubt, you know. People have doubt. I doubted the Lord. I went to court. The judge caught me up in front of everybody like this. And he didn't speak to me directly. He spoke to my solicitor. He says, Mr. Mongan, you are a genuinely nice person. You are in some unfortunate trouble, but you are a genuinely nice person. He says to the police officer, how was Mr. Mongan when you arrested him? Mr. Mongan was like a lamb.
Amen.
He said he was like a lamb. He was so quiet. He was so forgiving. He was so sorry for what he'd done. He admitted right away, I am wrong. I'm sorry. I just wanted to see my family. I drove down from Belfast to see my family, you know. And that's why I was caught. He was like a lamb. When I heard lamb, I was like, oh. It knocked me. It really shocked me, you know. It really spoke to me. So the judge says, I should really give you prison. You broke the law. And you have 4 months waiting for you. You deserve to go to prison. And I just put my head down. But you know what? I will not do that. 200 hours on ped work. Is that okay with you? And I said, yes.
Amen.
And then Lester says, my word, what happened there?
Amen.
The judge found some peace in his heart. And he gave you 200 hours unpaid work. I said, I accept that. 200 hours is much better than 1 hour in prison.
Amen.
So I walked out of court a free man.
Amen.
By the grace of God.
Amen.
By no one else.
Amen.
By God alone.
Amen.
And I'm here to be baptized.
Amen. How good it is to hear a wonderful, solid testimony. Let's sing that song for our brother. I'm not what I used to be.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not what I ought to be, not what I want to be, but I'm sure not what I used to be. Amen. I was telling him about how we wrote that song. We'd sing it. I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be, but I know one thing. Not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for I am to be what God wants me to be. Let's sing that chorus again. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be, but I know one thing. I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for I want to be what God wants me to be. Give me strength as I run this race, to stay on the path no matter what I face. Jesus Christ in my heart, I feel the change growing from the start. Who can bring a clean thing out of the unclean land but Jesus Christ, calling the sin? Lord, make me anew. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. I'm not what I want to be, but I know one thing, I'm not what I used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for I want to be what God wants me to be. While Sister Dube comes, last verse. I feel in my life it's a two-horse race, the black and the white, Lord, I must keep pace over this race. The choice is yours, the one you feed the most. He who began a good work in you is faithful to finish, his word is true. Let him in your heart, Lord, have your way. Oh, I'm not what I ought to be. What I want to be, used to be. I'll keep pressing for the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus, for to be what God wants me to be. For I want to be, for I want to be what God wants me to be. Amen.
My mind made up, and I won't tell. I want to see my Jesus someday. I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, because I want to see my Jesus someday. Goodbye. Goodbye, pleasures of sin. I stand no longer with you. I've made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. I made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. Goodbye, world. I stand no longer with you. Goodbye, pleasures. To go God's way the rest of my life. I made up my mind to go God's way the rest of my life. My mind made up, and I won't turn back, because I want to see my Jesus someday. I've got my mind made up, and I won't turn back, because I want to see my Jesus someday.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe we all have our minds made up. Brother Michael, maybe you want to do your. Brother Michael will just give us a poem and we'll continue worshiping. Amen. We're worshiping the Lord. Amen.
Amen. This poem is called Choice. Saints, I will tell you a little story. In a church where there is praise, where Christians lift and raise up their spirits, the pastor comes. He gets to the pulpit. He will teach and preach. He says, "The Lord shall come again. Saints, if you're his bride, then get ready for the ride." Amen. All the saints were steady. In a distance, we hear the thunder roar as the eagle soars. Amen. We are in heaven. We see Jesus in the mist, looking at his list. Oh, what a bliss. I approach him. He asked me, "Dost thou want to see hell?" I answer him, "No, Lord, for I don't want to hear the word hell, for it is a place where the people yell." Jesus says, but thou must do your choice. "Lord, I don't lust after these things, for it is said, God made hell for the devil and his angels." And Jesus said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." In the distance we hear the angels cheering, "Praise be the Lord, for he is the same yesterday, today, and forever."
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It's wonderful, Brother Michael. Amen. If you could put that into song, then you could join me. Amen. It's very good. I heard Brother Greg gave a good one last week. We should make a melody with him. Amen. Let's sing "These Are the Days of Elijah." Amen. The last days. These are the days of Elijah. The Bible's before and these are the days of your servant Moses. Righteousness be restored. Indeed, these are days of great trial, of famine and darkness and sorrow. We are the voice in the desert, crying, "Prepare the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. Lift your voice, hear our jubilee, light of Zion's hill, salvation call." Hallelujah. These are the days of Ezekiel, the
my bones becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant David rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are as white as the snows. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, declaring the word of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on, riding, shining. Lift your voice, it's here of Jubilee. And out of Zion's hill salvation calls. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There is no God. There's no God. Oh, there's no God like Jehovah. There's no God. Oh, no God. Oh, what a mighty God we serve. Ah, behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like a sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee. And out of Zion's hill, salvation calls. Amen. We are here to praise you. Lift our hands and sing. Hallelujah. We are here to give to you, Lord, the best that we can, oh, the best that we can bring, bringing you our life, rising from our hearts, everything within us cries, I love you, I love you. We are here to praise you, Lord. We are here to praise you, Lord. Lift our hands and, oh, we lift our hearts and sing to you, Lord. We are here to give to you, Lord, the best that we can. Oh, bringing you our love, bringing you our love, rising from our hearts, everything within us cries, I love you, I love you. That's what I long for. A heart that follows after thee. Oh, a pure heart, my Lord, a pure heart. That's what I long. That's all I long for, Jesus. A heart that follows a heart that hides not your word, eye that hides your word, so that sin will not come in. Oh, a heart that's undivided, one your rule and reign. A heart that beats compassion, that pleases you, my Lord. Sweet aromer of worship rises from your throne. Oh, a pure heart, that's what I long, that's all I long for, Lord.
That's all I long for, my Lord. Heart that follows on, who a heart that hides your word, heart that hides your word, so that sin will not come in. A heart that's undivided, when you that pleases you, my Lord, a sweet aroma rises from,
surely around you,
a pure heart, a pure heart. That's what that's all I'm longing for, my Lord. Meet with me, Lord, a heart that goes out after thee. Oh, pure heart, a pure heart. That's what that's all I'm longing for, Lord. A heart that follows after thee. Oh, a heart that hides your word. A heart that hides your word. Sin will not come in. A heart that's undivided, one you rule and reign. A heart that beats compassion, that pleases you, my Lord. A sweet aroma of worship that rises from youthful heart, a sweet aroma of worship, a sweet aroma of worship that rises from youthful.
Amen. If you really meant what we sang, that's a wonderful prayer.
Amen.
A pure heart.
Amen.
No guile, no shadow of turning, no double-mindedness.
Amen.
But just to be what you really are. Our friends, until that comes, you'll never ever get back to the upper room. Because they were in a one accord, in one place. They had a pure heart. Now, what they were to one another is what they were to one another. And that's what we desire. We want to put a couple of prayer requests. Sister Comfort travels to Italy on Wednesday, so she's requesting prayer. Also, Brother Vlad's asking the saints to remember his neighbor's son, Reuben, who's not feeling well, has been rushed to Drogheda Hospital. So we'll put that before the Lord. We also want to just really greet our visitors.
Amen.
Sister Tatiana from Spain. God bless you, sister. Hallelujah. Amen. We've got Sister Judita. We know her well. God bless you, sister. Sister Javili's sister. And then we've got our sisters from America. God bless you, sisters.
Amen.
Very nice for you to be here.
Yeah.
Amen. It's so good to be part of the family of God.
Amen.
You know, no matter where you go, God has His children.
Amen.
And they meet together in His house.
Amen.
Let's put these petitions before the Lord today. Father, just wanting a pure heart. That's all that we desire. Lord, to hide your word, that sin will not dwell there. Oh, Father, help us. How powerful your word is. Lord, let it find fertile ground upon this day. Father, let us uproot anything else, that, Lord, you may dwell, that you may rule and that you may reign, that, Father, you may have the preeminence in us, that you would be glorified in this day in us. Father, we come before thee, Lord. Father, how we desire you to work from within, even as our brothers testified upon this day. Father, even as you dropped the charges against him this last week. Oh, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you paid it all. That you paid it for us, Lord. Father and Lord, because of that, we come unto thee with the request. Pray for our sister, Lord, as she travel to Italy. Bless her. Father, protect her. Keep her in the way. Help her even when she would sit next to people. That, Father, Lord, you may be glorified, we pray. Bring her safely back. Lord, you do pray for Reuben's son. We don't know him, Lord. But, Father, you know all about him. Father, you know his heart. You know where he is. You know the need that he has upon this day. Father, in your precious name, we bring him before thee. We ask of you, Lord, because time and distance are nothing to you. We ask and pray that you draw nigh. Father, we send forth your word of healing to meet him in his point of need. Father, let thine angel, Lord, express yourself and help in that situation and be glorified, we pray. And as you'd open up your word, Father, how needy we are in your word. Father, we do not want to just accumulate knowledge. But Father, we want to be more like you. We want your word to mold us. We want to look in the mirror of your word that you may see you in there. And that you may see the potential of what we can be in you. But Father, it's not by power and it's not by might. It's only you that can do such for us. So please help us as we open up your word, as we fellowship around your word. Guide us, Lord. Guide your people. Guide me. Father, as we come to the end of the service, each of us could say, surely I had an audience with the King. Surely the Lord has dealt faithfully with my soul. That's our desire. Father, bless us. Now we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's open our Bible since today. Let's open 2 Peter chapter 1. It's good to see Conrad again. God bless you, brother. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's just read verse 5 up to verse 7. We know our thought. We've been on this for a couple of services now. The seven steps to perfection. So today we're nearing perfection. But we're going to see there's one thing between us and perfection. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. Amen. Let's also read Hebrews chapter 12, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1. The same chapter where it tells us Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, tells us in verse 1, let brotherly love continue. Amen. Small verse, but a very important. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. So we've been going through the stature of a perfect man. We've been having a look at these attributes. And on Friday, to those who weren't here, if you could please put the picture up there, bro, if you don't mind. Just a picture of the stature of a perfect man. We're coming through on Friday. We're looking at patience. About letting patience have its perfect work. That you may be perfect and complete, wanting nothing. But what you want is, on this one of the stature of a perfect man, there was a certain quote that I read on Friday, which I just want to read to everybody, because it helps us to understand. That if you are a Christian, you're a believer, as we said last weekend, you are the Lord's responsibility. You are his workmanship. So this work that he wants to do inside of us, we cannot transform ourselves. We cannot change ourselves, but we can give all diligence. So we have to give diligence. There's a part that we have to play. But the power of transformation is the very thing that we need to change us. Now listen what the prophet says on Paragraph 47, stroke 1. He says, now, in building this monument, in building this stature, it starts off, the foundation is faith, then virtue, then knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. Now, what's it do? Waiting for the headstone, which is love. It's the second slide on that one. It's fine. But waiting for the headstone, which is love. Now he says, for God is love. And he controls. And he is the strength of every one of these things. So we saw on Friday that for us to have virtue, for us to be able to be like Reverend Lily, for us to be able to give out to other people in their time of need, we're going to have fellowship with him. We're going to have divine resources coming from him. We know that there's people that have natural virtue. Yeah? We know that. There's people that are just good people, just naturally good people. But that's not the kind of virtue we saw on Friday that stands the test. Because all of your man-made virtues, all of your natural virtues, those are not ordained to take you through divine trial, to take you through the trials and the tests of life. So there's going to have to be something supernatural here. Just as much as our faith. You know, faith is intellectual at first. But when his power of transformation comes into our faith, he quickens our faith from being intellectual faith, and he brings it now into revealed faith. And there's such a difference between revealed faith and intellectual faith. And what it is that makes the difference is Him. He's the difference. And that's why the prophet says He is the strength of all of these things. And he says right in here, you see, I've got in between these works here. We don't have it on our picture, but the prophet had it in his picture. He says, here's little waves between all these works coming. What is it? The Holy Ghost coming down. Coming down through. Above all, welding this together. Amen. Building what? A perfect church for the capstone to cap it off. So we're saying on Friday that right from when you receive Christ, when He comes in, when He comes with a new birth in your soul, you've already received the capstone, but you've received Him in the way of the tutor. He's the great tutor. So now He's responsible. He's the head. It now becomes His responsibility to take you to hear ye Him. So He can't come and cap off this life yet. He's in your life. He's controlling your life. He's guiding your footsteps. He's the one who's customizing everything that you go through. Every trial you go through, every circumstance, every situation, the footsteps of the righteous being ordered of the Lord, it's Him that's in control. But He's the one that has to give us this power of transformation, this power that we need in each of these stages as He's building us up. We saw on Friday the dark ages in our lives. We see patience and temperament. We see the ox anointing that came upon the church ages. And we see when the church went through its trial and its testing, it wasn't its natural strength. It wasn't its natural patience that could take it through it. But it was that ox anointing. It was Christ ministering the resources. And they just had to give all diligence. They just had to have the right attitude. They had to use the resources that were given to them. And then what would take place? Is those waves would come down from Him, the capstone Himself, and would come down and come and anoint that character in that age. And that character now, through the power of transformation, would be exactly what was needed to overcome in that age. No matter what the enemy would bring up, He now would come in, raising the standard, and He is the raised standard. Amen. And He would come through the message of the hour. He would come through the anointing that was released in that age to transform that particular attribute inside of them, to quicken it, to give them the virtue that they needed to overcome. And it's exactly the same as us. You and I cannot have the patience that we need to make it all the way through. Your now patience is going to run out. Abraham's almost ran out. That's why Hagar was brought in on the scene. But when he went back now and he was under the capstone once again, and he waited on the Lord and he renewed his strength, then you find coming now from the capstone, now came that anointing. Now came what was required for him to overcome at that time. So we're going to see it in every single one of these things. That the prophet says, He is the strength of these things. It's not your own strength. This is a divine fusion. This is humanity and divinity coming together. This is your humanity yielding your attributes that is predestinated in you and His unction, His Holy Ghost coming in at the time just when you need it to give you that which you need at that time. And as He does that, as this power of transformation comes in and He's developing this character inside of you, He's trying to build you up to the place. What for? So that He can cap the work off. So they can say, this is my beloved son. This is my beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased. Where there's that now constancy, there's that consistency. When he can put his trust in you. That you're not going to be here this week and not here next week. You're not going to be serving the Lord and you're so zealous for a while and then trials come in, the dark ages come in, yeah? Persecutions come in. Now you're questioning whether you really want to serve the Lord anymore. No. He can't cap off that kind of a life.
Amen.
But He's got to take you through things to bring you to that place. So we saw last week, temperance is self-control. Temperance is that grace that He gives to you. That's something that He develops inside of you that you can control yourself.
Amen.
That was Jesus now. His threefold temptation in the wilderness was the lust of the flesh. Yeah, that was the very first thing. Turn the stones into bread. But there was self-control. He's just come from the Jordan. He's filled with the Spirit. He's the Word made flesh. So when now the flesh is tempted towards the lust of the flesh, He has a gear that He can move into and He can put that underfoot.
Amen.
He can put His foot on the neck of that temptation.
Amen.
Because of the virtue, because of the power that's residing inside of Him. So that gave him the ability to overcome the lust of the flesh. There's also the lust of the eyes. There's the pride of life. These are the temptations we have to overcome from within ourselves. This is your lust. This is your pride. This is your anger. These are the passions that you have inside of yourself that you need grace. And whenever those things are wanting to rise up, whenever that black horse is wanting to come back once again, there's got to be that gear. Now you can't do it inside of yourself. If you're not in fellowship with Him, if He's not ministering the virtue and the grace to you at that kind of a time, you're going to run out of resources. And you're going to be like Moses and you're going to lose your temper. You're going to be like Elisha and you're going to curse the children and 42 are going to die. The prophet says that wasn't the nature of God. That was an angered prophet. So we need Him. Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. We need Him every step of the way. That's why I don't understand people who don't come to the house of the Lord. Because this is how He ministers the resources to us. People who never fellowship with other believers. This is His divine way of ministering the resources to us that we need in the middle of whatever circumstance and situation that we're in. Then we saw on Friday now that Jesus goes from the wilderness, from this battle within, where He has to overcome Himself. He's the great overcomer. He subdues now the lusts of the flesh, the lusts of the eyes, the pride of life. He puts those under. So Satan departs from his season. Then the trial starts coming in another way. Now it's going to come in persecution. Now it's going to come in misunderstanding. Now it's going to come in all these outward things now. There's going to be tests. There's going to be trials until finally it comes down to Gethsemane. And now comes the real trial. Now he's going to have a gear called the gear of patience, which is perseverance, which is overcoming endurance. That when he himself doesn't desire to go through with what's ahead of him in his predestined path, his footsteps are leading him to a place to drink from the cup. He doesn't want to drink from this cup. As a natural man, no man would ever want to do that. But we saw on Friday that the word patience comes from the word to remain under. Amen. That when you're under the discipline of God, when God is making you a disciple, when God is taking you through certain trials and circumstances, He's putting you on the potter's wheel, and you don't want to be under that. You don't want to be under the yoke at that time. Your natural man, he wants to be free. He doesn't want to have to go through with that. But this temperance, this patience here, this perseverance, is that divine quality, divine nature that God puts inside of you, that when you're feeling, I don't want this, when you're about to kick against the pricks, when you're about to say, no, not thy will, but my will be done, there's a certain gear that you can get into and you can keep yourself under. And you can say, nevertheless, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. No matter if it means the cross, no matter if it means separation from the presence of God that Jesus had to go through, all that he had to endure now, that was now when patience had to kick in at that time. Oh, friends, patience is such an important one. Because this race that we're running, it's an endurance race. This isn't a 100-meter dash that it's going to be over next week. We don't know. Maybe it will. But most people, I don't know, there's people here that have been believers 30-something years, 20-something years. It's not a short-term work that he's doing inside of us. Amen. This wilderness journey that we're going through, you know, we're going to need this patience. We're going to need this ability that when you don't want this discipline, when you don't want to be in this situation, but you can see that it's the will of God for you, that he's telling you, this is for your good. This is going to develop something inside of you. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Yeah, stay under. It's that ability to stay under the yoke. It's that ability to subdue yourself, subdue your will. Subdue, even if your mind's telling you a lot of other things. Even if your feelings are telling you a lot of other things. It's that ability to put yourself under. And let him stay. The tutor, let him have the preeminence. Because he's taken you through that to develop something inside of you. And we saw it in the book of James that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Because in the midst of your trial, you've got to have faith. In the midst of the trial, if you, long time you haven't married, you're waiting, oh Lord, it's taken too long. If you don't have faith in His promise, that He's promised to supply all your needs in His season, you'll soon kick against the pricks. You'll soon say, it's enough. If Abraham didn't have faith to kick in, waiting 25 years for the promise, or the example that he gives of Noah waiting 120 years for the promise. If he couldn't remember, the Bible says, by faith, Noah. It was something supernatural that when he'd start to get weak, he'd go back and something would energize him once again and he'd say, no, I know he's never lied. I know he will never lie. I know that his promise is true. And that's why we saw it from last week. There's got to be right from the beginning a supernatural something that takes place inside of your life. Because you're going to need the supernatural every step of the way. You're going to need supernatural faith. When other people are giving up, like in the wilderness. Yeah, how many people gave up? Perishing. When there's 1,000 falling at your left and 10,000 at your right. There's got to be something like Joshua and Caleb had. A certain gear that you can move into. That you're not governed by what's happening around you. You're not governed by the circumstances, by, you know, the conditions of the wilderness, the way that you're feeling about things. But there's a certain gear, a certain spiritual nature, characteristic inside of you that you can just move into at that time. And your mind will be telling you the other things, but your soul is saying, all is well. And you just keep yourself lined up with the North Star. And you know, I don't understand what this means. I don't understand how long this is going to take. But I know one thing, he's going to bring me forth. And when I come out, I'm going to be like gold. Like the patience of Job. So we can really see from those ones there. Friends, without this, how can we ever get to the capstone? If you don't have that kind of a staying power, that kind of endurance inside of yourself, friends, we fall short. And that's when the prophet says we raise up to that point and then we fall away once again. And he says, and that's why the church maybe, why it's not getting to the place yet that it can cap it off, that it can come now with the fullness of the capstone. He says it's these attributes. Then we saw on Friday as well, the prophet said about faith. He says, by faith we can have glory. By faith we can have hallelujah. By faith we can have all manner of things. He says, but it's not the faith that gets capped. It's all of these things that are kept. So we need more than that faith and the things that faith can produce. Though we need that. We need that every step of the way. But we need faith in him. And that's what we're speaking about with patience. We spoke about patience, he said, firstly, with God. That's the first type of patience that you've got to have. You've got to have patience with God. You've got to, and you can't have patience with God if you don't have faith. If you're not abiding in the vine, if he's not real to you, you're going to tire. How many people are going to be baptizing our brother Patrick today? How many people did we baptize and they never went on to the Lord? You know, they were zealous in the beginning and, oh, we're going to change the world and all these kind of things. And then the wilderness kicks in. Jesus was led from his baptism way into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He had to go through those things and it's exactly the same as us. That's the way that it's got to be. So the second type of patience that we need is the one you want to concentrate on today. He says, we should have patience with one another. Patience with one another. He says, see, we get so much impatient with one another. We got to be like Moses. Moses had patience with the people. So we're going to skip godliness. We'll pick it up afterwards. Godliness, it will link in. We'll see it. But godliness has more to do with respects. We'll see that. But we just want to go from patience now to brotherly kindness. Because this, I think, is a really important one. It's a key. Because as you can see, we can come. The Lord says, I will restore, saith the Lord. So he starts restoring his church. He starts building his church up. But you don't want there to be something in the middle that's a blockage. You don't want there to be something that comes in the way and it hinders the fullness of the work being done. And to me, the big one here, especially for us at this time, is brotherly kindness. I find this is the one. This is the real attribute and the characteristic that we need. So we want to look at brotherly kindness. That's why we read the scripture. Let brotherly kindness continue. Amen. Let brotherly kindness continue. You know, so Paul is saying something interesting there. He's saying you need to allow brotherly kindness to continue. It shows that if you're not careful, brotherly kindness isn't going to continue. Amen. In this life that we live in, there's too many things around us. Amen. There's the flesh, there's the devil, there's the world, there's your personality and mine. There's many different opportunities when you low in the spirit to I am low in the spirit. And we're going to step on each other's toes. We're going to say things that the other person doesn't agree with. We're going to do things that we don't understand, that the other person doesn't understand. And if you're not very careful on this one, which is the final step to perfection, this is the one that we can fail. This is the one that we can lose something precious that was we once had the potential of having, which is brotherly kindness. So let's see what the prophet said about brotherly kindness. He just says two paragraphs about it. But I think he says enough in those two paragraphs that you could spend a while. You know what it's like with a message. So it's on page 47. He says, all right, we're coming into perfection now. Sixthly, the Bible says, adding brotherly kindness. So let's not forget the principle. Giving all diligence. Add to your faith brotherly kindness. That's where we got to. So we're going to have to give diligence. Friends, unity does not keep itself well. Unity is not something you can just leave on its own and say it's going to be okay and it stays okay. It doesn't.
Amen.
If you don't work at unity, if you don't work at brotherly kindness, there's a war of attrition against it. It's just natural that brotherly kindness, this attribute that's so important, that if you just leave it, if you just relax inside of your life, if we just relax inside of this church and we don't work at this one here, it's Amen. Just natural that it's not going to continue.
Amen.
The influence of brotherly kindness is going to wane. What did Jesus warn us of our age? He says, because iniquity shall abound. He says, brother will deliver brother and all these kind of things. And he says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. So the love of many, where the flame was burning bright, it was like it was a fire that others could come and warm from at one stage. But now the cold winds of circumstance, the cold winds have been blowing on it. And what was once a burning fire inside of yourself of brotherly kindness, the love of the brethren, it waxes cold.
Amen.
And it's not what it used to be. And now you don't fellowship with the people that you used to fellowship with. Our friends, this is an epidemic these days.
Amen.
It's an epidemic. And then you'll go and ask, but why are you not fellowshipping with brother so-and-so anymore? And there's 10,000 excuses that the other person did to you. This is where we're failing on brotherly kindness. Because brotherly kindness doesn't behave like that.
Amen.
Brotherly kindness, when the capstone, when the tutor's energizing this brotherly kindness, friends, you can have patience with your brother.
Amen.
When brotherly kindness is got the correct level of virtue and influence inside of your life, you can be like Moses, the prophet said. That all the people can be murmuring against you. That you might have sacrificed your life. You might have left Pharaoh's palace to come down to the mud pit to the people. You might have risked your life. You might have taken them out of Egypt. You might have brought them into the wilderness. And then they're going to start murmuring against you. And there's going to be misunderstandings. And people are going to be saying, but this man Moses, and where's the water? Oh, this manna, we're tired of this manna. And if you're not careful, that love that you had for the people of God, that love that you had for the family of God at one stage, it's going to wax dim.
Amen.
And that's why Paul is exhorting us. It's a command. Let brotherly love continue.
Amen.
He says you're going to have to give diligence. You're going to have to work at this. Because if you don't, if you just relax, friends, it's inevitable. I see it when new people come to the church. At first, when people come, they think everybody's an angel. But it's just going to take a matter of time. Someone's going to step on their toes. There's going to be misunderstanding. And that's the real test of how far somebody's gone in Christ. Because at first, we don't really know one another. At first, we know how to greet each other nicely. We know how to grin at each other, you know, be nice to each other. But you don't really know what's behind the veil.
Amen.
And it's only the trials. It's only the misunderstandings. It's only the difficult parts in the road that help us to know what's within the veil.
Amen.
For us to really establish the right relationship with one another, we've got to work through things.
Amen.
We've got to go through things together. You can't avoid them. We can't bypass them. That's not letting brotherly love continue. We've got to work through the things. We've got to face up to the things, deal with them the scriptural way, and that helps us to develop brotherly kindness. But it needs diligence, this one, just as much as all these other attributes. So the prophet says brotherly kindness. He says, That's a good one. Right here, the sixth, seventh, adding brotherly kindness. When we get to that, brotherly kindness, now he's going to explain it straight away. Put yourself in his place on the matter.
Amen.
That's brotherly kindness.
Amen.
Even when he's wrong, he's going to show us. But brotherly kindness is going to try to see his point.
Amen.
Brotherly kindness is going to kick in and say, yeah, the brother's not in the spirit these days. But why is he not in the spirit these days? Hey, the brother's losing his temper quite a little bit these days. But what's happening behind the scenes to make him lose his temper? What can I do to help him in the situation that he's in? That's what brotherly kindness, the first thing is. The prophet says, you put yourself in his place on the matter. But immediately the prophet says that, in this message, discernment kicks in. And he says, but you say. You see, because we always argue against the word. We always do. Whenever the word comes and says, okay, saints, let's reconcile with one another. What kicks in straight away? But he said this. She said that. But he was unfair to me. Last time I went, this was done and that was done and this was said and that was said. You see what kicks in straight away? When the balm of Gilead's there to heal the wound, yeah, and we're on the doctor's doorstep and he's coming and he's putting now the balm there. Let's be careful, friends.
Amen.
Let's be careful we don't reason ourselves away. Let's be careful that our natural, our natures that we have, our feelings, our emotions, and our memory of past events and these kind of things doesn't hinder us from applying the word.
Amen.
Because there's balm in Gilead.
Amen.
But what did the Lord say? He says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is the health of my people not recovered?
Amen.
And the prophet says, God has every right to ask, why?
Amen.
If he's given a solution, if he's given the resources that we need to deal with something, and we don't use those resources, we don't go about it the right way, he has every right to say to us, why?
Amen.
To come to us and say, brother, why are you not in fellowship with that brother? Why? Why? And then you'll say, but he said this and she said that. He said, go back to the balm.
Amen.
Go and see how to apply this balm.
Amen.
I've got a medicine. I've got a balm. I've got an ointment. It doesn't matter how deep the wound is. It doesn't matter how infected that wound may have become because of the passing of time. I have a balm.
Amen.
If you are willing, there's a balm. There's a balm, but you've got to be willing, friends. Every single one of these stages, we've got to work together with him. If you're not willing, he can't do anything for us.
Amen.
If you're not willing, he leads us to a stage like I can't, and he takes us around in the wilderness and keeps bringing us to situations. We don't do it the right way. We rebel. We don't want to put ourselves under. So he takes us around again. Brings us back to the same situation again. Until we get to the time we say, okay, Lord, I'm your disciple. I'm going to put myself under you. I'm going to put myself, we were singing about it, a pure heart. I want to hide your word within so that sin will not dwell there. I don't want to lean on my own human reasoning and understanding here. Father, you have a provided way. God has one provided way for things, friends.
Amen.
One provided way. We have to go his provided way.
Amen.
No matter how sincere we are, go another way. It's not going to work.
Amen.
It's going to make things worse. I'd say we need to spend some time once again to go back and look at this one provided way that God has. And this way is the way of brotherly kindness.
Amen.
Brotherly kindness is the key.
Amen.
So he says, when we get to that brotherly kindness, put yourself in his place in the matter. So you might say, that brother doesn't trust me. Yeah? Why? Why? To him, he has a reason. He is convinced in himself that you are untrustworthy. There's a reason for that. He may be 100% wrong in his reasoning, but he has a reason. It might be the devil told him something, somebody gossiped, somebody told a lie, he might have misunderstood a circumstance, But to him, he feels he's right. He feels, I don't trust that brother. And you hear about it that that brother doesn't trust you. Now, the prophet says, brotherly kindness has to kick in. Amen. This is the real test, friends. Amen. We're not getting to agape love. We're not getting to the capstone until we get this one right. And when I was studying this, I saw how the Lord has led our church. And we went through our dark ages those couple of years gone by, friends. And the Lord has brought us out, and he's brought us, and we've got patience and temperance. A lot of things developed in the local body. But before we can get to here, we've got to deal with this one here. Amen. This is the big one we've got to get right. And we haven't yet got it right. Because there's too many things taking place amongst too many people. In the midst of this local body, and the Lord's looking down and saying, no.
Amen.
Let's develop, let's give diligence, let's add to our faith brotherly kindness. Because we can't get to the fullness of the promise without it. Oh, friends, because you can't have unity without brotherly kindness. You can't have a one place with one heart, one accord without brotherly kindness. You can't have it. So we need to understand this principle of brotherly kindness. And friends, don't put it on somebody else.
Amen.
When I was reading this, I think I went to sleep around 2 o'clock in the morning. I was so meditating on this. I was saying, Lord, you help me and help your people in this.
Amen.
This is so important for us as a people now.
Amen.
We need to overcome this one.
Amen.
This is holding us back from crossing the Jordan.
Amen.
This is holding us back from far greater things that he has in store for us.
Amen.
And each and every one of us, we need to do what Paul says. Let brotherly love continue. As an individual, I don't want to look at this today and say, no, it's brother so-and-so. No, this is me.
Amen.
This is me. This is my church. This is the local assembly God has put me in.
Amen.
This is the part of the body here that God wants me to fellowship in.
Amen.
And I want this to prosper.
Amen.
For the sake of my children. For the sake of my lost relatives, for the sake of brothers and sisters, when they're sick, when people are demon-possessed, when people have all manner of misfortune, I want there to be such a presence of God here that when we need him, we can call Jesus on the scene. We want the capstone to be far more real. But in order for that to take place, we might have done well, we might have built all the way up to here. But friends, now there's a certain ceiling that we keep hitting against that we don't seem to be able to break through. Because we go round and around and keep coming back many times to the same things. To the same things. And then you spend time and you spend effort and you get tired out trying to deal with certain things. And then to me, that's why I love this message so much. I went and I said, but Lord, you have the solution.
Amen.
We can go in our own human compassion. We can go in our own human understanding. We can try to do it the best of our ability, but God has a way. And only one way. And that's the only way we can do it. And if you don't do it that way, it just doesn't work. You just keep coming back to the same situation time and time again. So the prophet says, put yourself in his place on the matter. Now you say, my brother sinned against me. You see, straight away the prophet says, Brother Greg, are you not in fellowship with somebody? Put yourself in his shoes. And the first thing that Brother Greg thinks, but he sinned against me. See, the prophet picked it up straight away.
Amen.
The word discerned it and said, but you will say, my brother sinned against me. That still means nothing. My behavior, my developing of brotherly kindness inside of my life, my adding to this has got nothing to do with the other person.
Amen.
They're just the secondary cause. They're just the circumstance God has allowed to come into my life because God wants to develop this in me.
Amen.
I want this in me. If you don't want it in you, that's up to you. But I want this in me because that's the aim. You want hear ye him. So straight away the prophet's going to say, be careful. Because the moment we get onto these kind of topics, friends, we are so very, very good at putting up the spiritual umbrella. Yeah? And the Lord's wanting to rain down on us and bring truth to us when you put up the umbrella and say, this doesn't apply to me. This applies to other people. Friends, if this didn't apply to us, our church wouldn't be where it is now. We'd be far higher than we currently are. And that's the proof of it, is this brotherly kindness. So it's a very important thing. He says, now you say, my brother sinned against me, said Peter. Shall I forgive him 7 times a day? Forgiveness now. Now's the one when people say, I wish I had overtime today. When you get onto forgiveness. People say, I wish my shifts instead of next week, I wish they got it, because forgiveness, it can be a bitter thing for people.
Amen.
But if you cannot forgive your brother, God will not forgive you.
Amen.
Friends, it's a serious thing.
Yes, sir.
Because if you don't, inside of your character today, have the right attributes, the right quality inside of you to give grace to somebody else, it shows that you at that time are not fully a recipient of grace.
Amen.
You haven't fully received grace. Therefore, you can't give out grace.
Amen.
So you are testifying against yourself.
Amen.
You are testifying that God hasn't yet fully forgiven me. What's the proof? Because I can't forgive my brother.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says.
Amen.
If you can't forgive your brother, and you'll say, but I tried. How many times did you try? Once. And then Peter thought, I'm doing well. Lord, should I forgive him 7 times? Jesus says, no, no, no. 70 times 7.
Amen.
Now that's going to need this, friends. That's going to need these waves coming down from the tutor. That when he puts us in these situations, that his divine power that he's given unto us, his promises that he's given to us, they need to so quicken this brotherly kindness so that we can forgive somebody 70 times 7 in a day. That's brotherly kindness. That's what the prophet said. That's brotherly kindness. Can you see how impossible this is for the natural man? It's impossible. You can't do it yourself. It's like with forgiveness. The first thing you have to desire in forgiveness, there has to be a will inside of you. You have to desire to forgive that person. If you don't desire to forgive that person, not even God in his omnipotence can do anything for you.
Amen.
He can't overrule that. But if you have the desire that you want to forgive, and you have the right attitude like that, what's the next thing that you need to do? You go and lay yourself on the altar and say, Lord, this is hard for me, but I want to forgive.
Amen.
That's the first step. It's got to be an act of your will first. You've got to go and lie down and say, I want to forgive. And the moment you have the right attitude, see how he gives you the resources now. Now he's going to give you things that you never ever thought were possible. He's going to minister forgiveness and grace inside of your soul that you can now minister out to somebody else. But it's got to take this. It needs this. So the prophet says that. If somebody's sick out there, if they want to bring them in, we can pray for them. If you just ask, yeah? Because we'll never allow the devil to have his way.
Amen.
Never. When we believe in such a king that we do,
Amen.
We have such preeminence over the devil,
Amen.
We'll never give in to the devil.
Amen.
Never. Let the sister come, we'll pray. People may say, is it good church order? Friends, that's what the church is there for.
Amen.
If somebody wants to repent and they want to come forward now, friends,
Amen.
We'll stop the whole church.
Amen.
To allow them to, let's pray for the sister, yeah? Thank you, Lord, that your promises are yea and amen. Father, you have said, I've given unto you power over all the powers of the enemy. Father, I curse this spirit in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We say, Satan, you exposed and you are defeated. You have no right. You have no authority in this place. We rebuke you. Leave our sister in Jesus' name. Father, we send forth the word of healing in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And we say, Satan, you've been found out.
Amen.
We bind you, cast you forth. We curse you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. So we're speaking about that particular attribute of forgiveness. So the prophet says, somebody said, he says, 70 times 7. You see, brotherly kindness. Now, if a brother's all out of tune, yeah? If a brother's out of tune, do brothers get out of tune?
Amen.
Do sisters get out of tune?
Amen.
If a brother's all out of tune, don't be impatient with him. See, be kind to him.
Amen.
Go anyhow. You see, even if that person doesn't want to see you, they're angry with you. Yeah. What's brotherly kindness? You don't want to leave it like that.
Amen.
You want to let brotherly love continue. You don't want that situation to stay like that. There's an attribute inside of yourself. It's a divine nature. When God saw the breach between himself and his son and his daughter in Eden, he wouldn't leave it like that. He came and stepped into the breach. He came and took their wrong upon himself. And friends, the Spirit of Christ, we said it before, will always step into the breach. If you will allow the Spirit of Christ to have his way inside of your life, you will always step into the breach. Even if the other person doesn't want to extend their hand to you, you will extend your hand to them. That's brotherly kindness. That's what he says. Be kind to him. Go anyhow. Somebody said not long ago, said, how can you believe things the way you do to the prophet? And you still go to the assemblies of God and the oneness and the rest of them. The prophet says, well, see, brotherly kindness. Hoping someday. You see, so you're not looking at where the person is now, but you're hoping someday. You're hoping someday. You see, patience with him. Yeah? Temperance. Enduring with him. Knowledge to understand what he believes. You find people come from other groups, friends. You find people come from all different brands and blends of the message. And some people have come from those exclusive sort of groups that if you don't believe the way they believe, you're not the bride. And the Lord, by his grace, allows people to come to us like that. And when they come, they might still have that spirit on them. They may feel superior. They may feel, no, you don't believe the seven thunders the way that I do. You know, you're not really the bride here. If you don't believe this, that, and the other, brotherly kindness will bear with that person.
Amen.
Brotherly kindness, it's that kind of an attribute that feeds on knowledge, because your knowledge will kick in and say, why is my brother like that? Why is he not so free to fellowship with other people? Then you'll go and find out, oh, he came from such and such a background. He listens to such and such a person's messages. Then you'll understand, oh, that's where the influence is coming from. And then now you have the long-range vision. You've got the patience. You've got the temperance to say, I want to win my brother over. I want to get into fellowship. But this isn't going to be just something done in a day. This is going to be something that I'm going to have to let brotherly love continue here. And for a big part of the journey of bringing yourself to oneness with that person, you're the one that's going to have to bear the load. You're going to have to bear with that person. And all of the arrogance and all of their judgmentalness and so forth, you're going to have to bear with that person. You're going to have to play the fool in a way, like Jesus plays the fool with us. When he comes to us, he comes to them on the way to Emmaus. No, he acts as if he's just passing by and he walks with them and he wants to know what's inside of their hearts. And he listens to what they say and then he starts to minister. Then the virtue starts to come forth to change their situation. He didn't have to do that. It was because of his divine nature. He didn't want to leave those brethren the way that they were. He wanted to bring them to the same place that he was. That's where he wanted them to be. So the prophet says that. Patience with him. Temperance. Knowledge to understand what he believes. And remember, it's in his heart. That's what it is. So in his heart, he has these things. Now, he's a victim. Many times, our critics are victims. You know that? Because somebody lied to them many times. Now, don't get me wrong, we make our mistakes, all of us, yeah? But you're always willing to admit our mistakes. But sometimes you'll find somebody will hate you. Somebody will not even believe that you are a genuine Christian, yeah? They don't even want to shake your hand. And you look and say, now, we can have an attitude to say, okay, well, if he's like it, I'll be like that, yeah? That's not brotherly kindness. You've blocked brotherly kindness. Because the Lord's given an opportunity for him to be able to develop brotherly kindness inside of you. So what you have to understand now is, he's in that condition for a reason. There's some circumstances behind. Something's taken place. The devil's been there before. False doctrine's been there before. So many things have been there before to bring that person maybe to where they are. Maybe there's somebody told real, like I say, untruth about you. But brotherly kindness, something kicks in to say there's a reason for that. You know, it brings it back to that one of take a man to God in prayer. When the prophet says, when that person speaks against you, yeah, and you go to the Lord and you feel justified to say, Lord, I don't know why this brother did this to me. He's done me evil and he knows he's done me evil. The prophet says, let God go speak into you. Yeah? Let the tutor start to speak to you and say, yes, I understand. That's why I brought him to you. This person's always been overcome by a critical spirit wherever they've been. That's why I've brought him to you. Because I'm going to use you to be the solution to the problem in this person. But the only way is if brotherly kindness can kick in you. And then you start to understand now. I understand now. It's such and such an influence. Or they fellowshiped with such and such a person. And that person said this, that, and the other. Now you have a different approach. You're not just looking at the person saying, that person's a fool. How can they think of me like that? Yeah? Where's their discernment? No, friend, the devil's cunning. Before Jesus got to every single one of us, the devil had been there first. The devil had been there first. And his patience, his temperance, his virtue ministered to us, his brotherly kindness towards us. That's what took us from what we were and brought us to what we are. Because grace doesn't look at a person where they are. Grace looks at where they can be. That's what grace. Grace doesn't judge them by what they are now. Grace looks at a person and says, there's potential here. This ill-tempered fisherman one day is going to die for me hanging upside down on the cross. He's going to turn the world upside down. But it needs brotherly kindness. That's what he's saying. Enduring with him. Remember, it's in his heart. And have virtue in yourself. Virtue now. In yourself, to let it go out with kindness and meekness to him. So when he comes all arrogant inside of your house, yeah? Or she comes and she's all critical inside of your house, inside of your sphere of influence, then virtue kicks in. And you can now answer meekly. You can answer wisely. You can minister to that person in the very situation that they are. In the very circumstances that they're in. And that's going to make all the difference. Friends, can you see why this is the stature of a perfect man? Can you see why for a person to really have these attributes developed in them, you've been through a lot of things. Now you've been through a lot of things. He's taken you through a lot of things. But the first thing when we get into trial, our normal reaction, I don't want to be in this situation. And we want to run away. And now somebody's grieved with us. It's, that's okay, I just won't go and see that person. And you're running away from the very thing that God has put there, not only to help that person, but to help you as well. Because by you kicking into that gear of brotherly kindness, you're going to minister that person from where they are into the truth. And God's going to develop his character inside of you. And it's going to add to your knowledge for next time as well. There's going to be experiential knowledge that you have. Knowledge through the experiences that you've been through. So next time something happens, you're not just going to quickly judge a person. You're going to say, oh Lord, I see what you're doing again. You've allowed this person to come. Aha, now I understand what is it you want done. That's where you want him to get to. That's what the prophets say. So he says that meekness and having faith that someday God will bring him in. That's brotherly kindness working together with all those kind of virtues. Brotherly kindness. What does brotherly kindness mean? The word brotherly kindness is Philadelphia. From filio, which is brotherly love. Yeah? Filio love. And Delphia, it's the love of the brethren. To the people before they met the early believers, Philadelphia only applied to the natural family. You could only have brotherly love, family love, to the people in your natural family. But then came the day of Pentecost. Amen. And then something changed. And then people said, these people love each other even more than we love our natural families. Amen. And now all of a sudden there was a family of Jews and Samaritans and Greeks. And they so loved one another. that the people said, okay, this term, brotherly love, which we've never used before to allow of people who love people of different families, we're going to apply it to these believers here. Because these people have brotherly love. These people have real brotherly love. Now the prophet says it in the message, I will restore. He says, if Pentecost, yeah? Now, okay, we'll start off. He speaks of the prophecy of Joel. Because Joel was taken up in the Spirit. And what did Joel see at first? Joel saw the day of Pentecost. He saw the pouring out of the Holy Ghost upon his church. But Joel didn't only see that. Joel also saw the four bugs. He saw the palm worm, the caterpillar, the canker worm, yeah, the locust. All he saw those four bugs. And he knew that, God's going to pour out his Spirit, and then there's going to come these bugs. And then the same prophet Joel was saying, no, it's not going to finish there. I will restore, saith the Lord. So the same prophet, he saw the entire work from the beginning to the end. He saw how it was going to start in power and start in virtue. And the people are going to have such a love for one another. Then he saw the devil wasn't going to leave it like that. And friends, the enemy of brotherly kindness is the palmer worm, the prophet says. And every single one of us, if we're honest, we know the palmer worm well. Because every one of us has fellowshipped a lot with the palmer worm as believers. Whenever you hear gossip, you're fellowshipping with the palmer worm. Whenever you have a critical spirit upon you, that's the palmer worm that's upon you. That's the enemy of brotherly love. That's what comes first, is the palmer worm. So the prophet says, Joel saw these things, these four great destroyers. He says, if Pentecost was God's vine, the new vine, these four destroyers has been the one that's eaten the vine down. Now, let's find out what Pentecost had. We've read this many times before. And find out what we've got lacking. And we'll find out what the destroyers are. So if we compare ourselves with Acts 2, 3, 4, we see their communion gathering daily in one accord from place to place. Great grace was upon them all. And we take ourselves and compare ourselves with them. And we find out that what's different between us and them? We'll find out which bug has been at work. We'll find out which of these bugs has been at work. And the prophet says, now the first thing that Pentecost produced was brotherly love. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you love everybody, friends. You love the drunk on the street. You love the prostitute on the corner. You love the guy at work who doesn't know if he's a guy or a girl. No, you love the people. You feel compassion inside of yourself. We were singing about it, a pure heart, a heart that's full of compassion. That pleases you, my King. We were singing about it there. When you really first receive the heavenly dove. Friends, how you love everybody. You can't believe. Yeah, I remember like I always said, when we first got in the message, and after a few months we heard that one brother had been caught hiding chibuku, traditional beer, in the ceiling in his house. We couldn't believe it. A brother in this message can have alcohol in his house. We couldn't believe it. But friends, like I've said before, nothing shocks me now. Nothing shocks me now. We've seen a lot of things we never expected we're going to see. But when you first receive that experience, and he calls you now to the fellowship of the brethren, to the family of God. Oh, brotherly love. You love the brethren. Doesn't matter if this person's got his idiosyncrasies and this person's got their quirks and other. You love the brethren. After work, after college, you want to go and fellowship with the brethren. You don't want to just go home. You want to be with the family of God. When they gather, you want to gather. But friends, does it stay like that? What is it? It's the palmer worm. Now you might say, no, it's not the palmer worm. I wasn't happy with this and I wasn't happy with that. No, that's still the palmer worm. Those are circumstances, but you allowed the palmer worm to work through those circumstances. You allowed the palmer worm. The first thing that Pentecost produced was brotherly love. It tore down the middle wall of partition and made a brotherhood. Oh, a brotherhood. To such a way that they had everything in common in the Bible. a brotherhood. Paul spoke of this brotherhood, gave the characteristics in Corinthians 13. He says, though I speak with tongues as men and angels, and have not this love which brings the brotherhood, I'm nothing. So this love, this real Holy Ghost love, it's going to come inside and work inside of you, and it's going to bring the brotherhood. That's the attributes of somebody who's really fellowshipping with the heavenly dove. You're going to be somebody who's going to be working at brotherhood. At brotherhood. But as we've seen so many times, people can have faith, they can have great faith, they can move mountains, raise the dead, and be breaking up brotherhood. And that's the great stumbling block in the message. Because you'll say, but this minister is so anointed, they're so powerful in their ministry, God's vindicated them so much. But what are they doing? They're not working for the brotherhood of the bride. And the prophet says, I would have discernment of spirit enough to know that's wrong. There's something wrong there. The person doesn't yet have the fullness of those. So if they did have that, something's happened to make it wax dim. It's not what it used to be. Because they're not working towards the brotherhood. So the prophet says, Jesus said this. By this will all men know you my disciples when you have love one for another. Pentecost had that. The first group of the apostles and the disciples, they had that brotherly love. They weren't greedy. They sold everything they had for the furthering of the church. We're not asking people to do that, because people's minds run far when you read those things. There's so much so they were together until one said, let us go and die with him. Such a feeling. Now Jesus spoke, Paul spoke of this and said, let brotherly love continue. But something taken place. And there was a fellow came in by the name of a palmer worm. And when he began to eat on that vine of brotherly love, he cut the very sapline of it. Because it doesn't make any difference how smart we are, how much we think we know, how much we want to be different from somebody else. As long as that brotherly feeling isn't among us, we're fighting a losing battle. That's right. We can't win. We can't. There's no way. There's no way. We can't win. Unless there's that brotherly feeling. Now be honest with yourself. Who do you not have a brotherly or sisterly feeling to today? Be honest. Who do you? Who is it that when you think of them, you're uncomfortable in your thoughts? Who is it that when you see them now at communion, washing of feet, you don't want to wash their feet? You quickly go and find somebody else to wash their feet because you don't want to wash that person's feet. We can't leave it like that, brethren. We can't leave it like that, brethren. It's not only affecting you, it's affecting all of us. When I'm like that towards you, it doesn't only affect me and you, it affects other people. That's the way that it always works. The prophet says we can't work. There's no way for us for it to work. Let's read one more scripture here now. Just to show where this can get to. Let's read in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14 and 15. The prophet says, I preached what Paul preached. That's why I love to take what Paul said. Hebrews 12, verse 14. Follow peace with all men. Follow, pursue it. Peace with all men. Yeah? Don't just sit back and hope peace is going to happen, but follow peace with all men. That word actually means to pursue. Add all diligence. Pursue. If you're not at peace with somebody today, in the family of God, the Bible's telling you, you need to follow peace with all men. Follow peace with all men. And holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Verse 15. Looking diligently. There's our diligence again. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness. Aha. A root of bitterness. springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Oh. So a root of bitterness springing up doesn't only trouble you, but it defiles many. That's why, friends, when you have a problem with me, or I have a problem with you, I'm not allowed to go and speak to somebody else until I first come and speak to you. If my life, God has allowed my life and your life to intersect on a certain place, and there's something, conflict, misunderstanding took place in that time, that's the sacred sands of your personal life intersecting with the sacred sands of my personal life. Don't get other people involved at first. It's between you and that person. Because you are the only two that really understand the issue. No matter how much it's grieved you, no matter how much it's burdened you, why now go and get somebody else involved? Do they know the real circumstances? No. Do they really know the history between you and that person? Only you and that person know the history. Only you and that person know what you've been through and what's led you up to that situation. So when you're trying to bring somebody and dump them straight into the middle of a sensitive issue, be careful, because you can defile many. You'll get other people involved. Don't get other people unnecessarily involved. But follow peace with all men. But you yourself make sure that you don't get the root of bitterness. Now, bitterness. Look at this definition of bitterness. Bitterness is a smoldering resentment. So it's something that's small. It's like if you take paper, it hasn't yet started to burn, but it's smoldering. You know, on the corners, you can see the fire is not yet flames, but it's starting now to bring forth some smoke. It's starting to smolder. And that's how it starts off. When somebody says something against you, when somebody says something to you, when somebody does something against you or doesn't do what you think they should have done. Yeah? If you're not careful, if you allow the palmer worm spirit to come at that time, it starts to smolder inside of you. It starts to bring a little bit of heat. There's something inside of you that, he shouldn't have done that to me. That wasn't right what he did. So bitterness is a smoldering resentment. It's also a brooding, grudge-filled attitude. That's what bitterness is. So it's a brooding. You know what it is when you brood? It's like a chicken when she gets her eggs. They haven't yet hatched. They're just in potential form. And now she goes by herself and she settles herself down and she's going to be there for a while. And she creates a certain atmosphere and she keeps those eggs close to herself. That's brooding. And when the palmer worm comes, friends, you don't want to brood. No, 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 no. You see it with people. They start to brood about something. And that dark cloud comes upon them. Yeah? You can see they're fellowshipping with the palmer worm here. The palmer worm. They're taking the palmer worm away from that situation. They're going home and they're lying on their bed. It's them and the palmer worm. That anointing's there. There's an atmosphere there. There's a resentment. There's a brooding inside of you. There's a changing in your attitude towards somebody. This is how you get a root of bitterness. That's how it starts off. It's a brooding, grudge-filled attitude. So you've got a grudge against somebody now. Yeah? You've got an issue against somebody. And because you haven't taken it the scriptural way, it's going to defile you and it's going to defile other people if you're not careful. And the example the Bible gives is Esau. Esau got a root of bitterness against Jacob. He got a root of bitterness. He hated his brother. He hated his brother. No matter how much Jacob was a crook. Yes, he was a crook. Yeah. He was. He had his blame. But Esau should never have allowed that attitude to develop inside of his life. Because in the end, he wanted to kill his brother. And the prophet says, many ways to kill a man. It's not just putting a knife on someone's back. You kill their reputation. And friends, that's what it is. That is what the palmer worm, this is the spirit of the palmer worm we're speaking about. Can you see what an evil spirit this thing is? How it comes in, it's like a cancer comes in when there's a bruised cell. It comes as an opportunist. It comes to take advantage of a circumstance, of a misfortune that's happened in the human body. That's what the palmer worm is. He looks and says, aha, brother so-and-so, brother so-and-so. Yeah. They've had a misunderstanding. And then he comes and he draws near. And that dark shadow comes and you go away from church and you go home or you go away from fellowship, whatever it is. And you're sitting there and you, wherever you are in your house, you're driving to work, driving to college, on the train, on the bus, whatever it is. And there's a smoldering inside of yourself now. There's something that's brooding inside of yourself. There's a grudge that's developing now. That's where it starts off. Bitterness is an unwillingness to forgive. That's a definition. You don't want to forgive. You know what it ends up being, friends, if you're not careful. Like when the prophet cast out that demon from that demoniac in Portland. And then they asked the prophet, has it gone? He says, no, because he worships it. Some of us are worshiping the spirit of unforgiveness. Some of us are worshiping the palmer worm. We like that feeling. We like that feeling of hating somebody. We like that feeling of bearing a grudge against somebody. And you've absolutely destroyed the influence of the dove in your experience. Absolutely. Absolutely. He's not going to stay. You may get all emotional. You may know all the quotes. You may quote so many things. Yeah? But as long as that attitude is in there, the heavenly dove has no part in your spiritual experience anymore. And then you'll find it with people. There'll be that brooding spirit, that darkness will be on them. And now maybe somebody will try to help them a little bit. And they'll try to say, but sister, why don't you do this? Why don't you go and speak to the person and go and try to resolve this issue? And you know, there's not a willingness inside. Sometimes it'll be a grudging sort of, okay. And they go half-heartedly. And friends, God doesn't bless half-heartedness. He doesn't. He doesn't bless double-mindedness. A double-minded man receives nothing of the Lord. And the person will go, like all they say, like our children, when they say sorry to each other. You'll say, Daniel, go and say sorry to your sister. Sorry. Then you have to say, Rachel, do you forgive him? Yes, I forgive him. Yeah, well, we understand they're children. But it's that same kind of a thing. If you want to overcome the palmer worm, my friend, which is after you to destroy you and to defile other people, you've got to add diligence. You've got to be militant. You've got to let brotherly love continue. You've got to pursue peace with all people. You've got to fight that thing and say, I don't want this thing inside of my life anymore. I want to be brooding upon the goodness of Christ. I want to be meditating upon His goodness to me. I don't want to be meditating and having a resentment growing inside of me towards a person. This is how a root of bitterness starts. Bitterness also means a harsh feeling. Remember, I once read it from Azusa Street where Bartleman said that he says in those early days of Azusa Street, the Holy Ghost would convict us, not just of hard words, but of hard thoughts. Friends, that's a pure heart. That's what you should be longing for. That the moment you think an unkind thought against somebody, the Holy Ghost should smite you. And so how can you think against your brother like that? How can you think against your sister? But we don't do that. We push that off. And then what do? We go to our buddy. Yeah. We go to our buddy now. Bruh, it's not fair. Brother so-and-so did this to me. And now two of you are fellowshipping with the palmer worm. Two of you are fellowshipping with the palmer worm. This Roman bug. They've stripped the church down to nothingness just about in the dark ages. Amen. And you're fellowshipping with this evil demon power of a spirit. You're allowing it to brood over you. And now you've been through the power of influence, through the power of fellowship. You're going to transfer that spirit onto somebody else. Because now that person, because I've only heard one side of the story, they don't know the real story.
Amen.
Because none of us ever tell the full story when we have a spirit of bitterness. We never do.
Amen.
It's always the other person to blame. We never say, but you know, I wasn't fair to them then, and I said that against them then, and I did this against them in their history, and that's maybe why they're not happy with me today. Mm. You very conveniently forget the history of the situation. Mm. But the prophet says, brotherly love knows there's a reason for it. There's a reason that my brother's like this now. There's a reason that he feels like that towards me. And brotherly kindness is prepared and willing to go and face up to that reason. And say, if I'm wrong, then I'm wrong. Now, bitterness is the opposite of sweetness and kindness. Ah, friends. You can't have pure, sweet and bitter water coming from the same well. Can you have the palm of worm in your experience and have the Holy Ghost at the same time? No, it's a religious spirit. You may go and testify to people and they all repent. That's just gifts. That's got nothing to do with your standing with Christ. Because even workers of iniquity can cast out demons.
Amen.
Can prophesy and people repent. Mm. A man living in adultery at Mishawaka. Yeah. Mm. Having children with another man's wife. Mm. Speaks in tongues. People go to the altar. Don't let gifts fool you. Don't let anointings fool you. We're speaking about in the inner chamber here. We're speaking about the real you within the veil. What's happening there today?
Amen.
And you'll say to me, what's that got to do with you? Everything.
Amen.
Because we are body. And what's happening behind your veil and what's happening behind my veil are so important if you want to get to the promise.
Amen.
Because we need the same thing in your veil to be in my veil.
Amen.
So we can have a one accord, a one place. We don't need friends to manufacture things that you come and you greet someone, you say, God bless, but in your heart, you don't want God to bless them.
Amen.
Let's not be hypocrites anymore.
Amen.
You don't want that. That's the meaning of it. Bitterness is the opposite of sweetness and kindness. Listen, bitterness harbors resentment. You know what a harbor is? It's when a ship comes in and it finds a refuge. And there's storms out there that would have destroyed it. Friends, the winds of the Holy Ghost will destroy the palm of wind. But there's people that make a harbor now. They make a harbor and they allow now the resentment to come into the harbor. And the word can't get to it anymore. The Holy Ghost can't get to it anymore. He's trying to get there. But you built a harbor now. And you're saying, come into my harbor. And the palm of wind, he's sailing on the ship of resentment. And he sails right into your harbor. And he lets down the anchor. And it takes a root. And it takes a hold. What is in your harbor today? What ships are in your harbor? Is there resentment? Is there unforgiveness? Is there something smoldering inside of your bosom against somebody? My friend, you're in trouble with God. You're in trouble in your spiritual life. You don't realize your danger. You don't realize how that's holding you back from so many things that God has for you.
Amen.
And if you're not careful, Paul said in there in Hebrews 12, he says, you can fail of the grace of God.
Amen.
This will cause you to fail of the grace of God.
Amen.
Ah, friends, be careful. Bitterness harbors resentment. Bitterness keeps a score of wrongs. So bitterness has its notebook in its pocket. And every time somebody, that person does something, it takes out its pen. Yeah? It's not a pencil, it's a pen. And it takes it out and it writes it down. Yes. He did this. He did that. He said this. He said that. It keeps a score. It keeps a score of every wrong that's done. And you know how you can tell that this is the case? Because people that have this palmerworm spirit still working in their lives, every time you speak to them, they tell you the same list of things against people. You'll speak to them today and say, but sister, why are you not reconciling with that sister? No, she did this, she did that, she didn't do this, she didn't do that, and she goes down the list. You leave it for 3 months. You'll think that person's may have overcome it. You will see problems come again. You'll say, sister, please. What's going on? She'll go through the same list. Exactly the same list. The same list. You're keeping a score of wrongs that have been done to you. There's no forgiveness there. The blood of Jesus puts it in the sea of forgetfulness, friends.
Amen.
The blood of Jesus takes the finger in his side, takes the list, puts pardoned,
Amen.
Throws it behind us, and let's move on.
Amen.
But that's what bitterness is. It keeps a score of wrongdoing. Bitterness is the spirit which refuses to be reconciled. It refuses to be reconciled. That's what I said. Be careful you don't worship the spirit inside of your life. Because the Lord will be trying to persuade you. The Lord will be trying to persuade you. The Lord will be trying to tell you, it's time now for this to be fixed. But you want to keep it in. Because there's something precious in that to you. It's your little hurt feelings. Yeah? It's our feelings that were hurt. Somebody stepped on your pride. Somebody stepped on your spiritual toes. And friends, this has affected us so much. So much. Because people cannot get in the spirit of brotherly kindness. But it's the spirit of brotherly kindness that destroys this. Once somebody gets the right attitude once again and they allow now the capstone to start working in the attribute of brotherly kindness now is going to start seeing the situation a different way.
Amen.
Brotherly kindness is going to want to fix that situation.
Amen.
No matter whether you're right or wrong.
Amen.
You're going to go and try anyhow.
Amen.
Even if you're like, I know I'm not the one to blame. Because that's what God did to us. He came down from glory.
Amen.
Down from His glory.
Amen.
Oh, what condescension bringing us redemption. And friends, every time redemption is needed, redemption is grace.
Amen.
You can never have forgiveness. You can never have reconciliation. Never have redemption without there being someone giving grace.
Amen.
Just unmerited favor.
Amen.
Now, as we come to a close, it doesn't mean we skirt over the issues. No, it doesn't mean that. Let's finish with that thought. Let's go to the scripture when Jesus is speaking. Let's go to, if I can find my scripture. Matthew. Sorry, just give me a second to find one. Matthew chapter 18. Now let's finish off with saying, what is God's only way of dealing with these things? God only has one way, friends. He doesn't have more than one way.
Amen.
And the prophet says the word is our defense. But the problem is Satan uses reasoning. The Holy Ghost uses the word. One works, the other one doesn't. One might have good intentions behind it, but it's not going to fix the problem. You've got to take the word. And you've got to apply the word. Look in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. Can you see the principle? Why? Because the issue is only between you and him at this time. He's offended you. Or you think he's offended you. Or if you have something which you've got against that person, yeah, the fellowship's not there anymore. There's something starting to brood inside of you. There's a resentment. There's something, and you say, no, I don't want this to build.
Amen.
The birds may fly over my head. I don't want them to make a nest. So the Bible says, if your brother's trespassed against you, go and tell him his fault, you and him alone. But now, can I have my picture just once more, please, saints? This is the key, I really do believe, to this verse. Go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother.
Amen.
I think the computer's doing something. Now listen to this here. What should be your objective in going to somebody? What does the Bible say there? To gain your brother. If you're going with any other motive, you may as well not go. If you're going because you're wanting to let off the pressure to the person. If you're going because you want to go and show them you're wrong and I'm right, you're not going with the right attitude. But if you're going with brotherly love, that's the key. If you're going to go to somebody, don't go until first you've got the reality of brotherly love in your experience. Because it's not going to work if you don't have brotherly love. So the first thing you need to do is go and say, oh great tutor, oh great heavenly dove, I want to be reconciled with my brother now. He's trespassed against me, or I think that he has. He's done something that's grieved me. He's done something I'm not happy with. I've heard something and it's affecting the way that I look at my brother, the way that I look at my sister. Help me, Lord. And you pray about it first. Until the waves come down, the rays come down from the capstone and kick into the attribute, the divine nature of brotherly love. And then you go with that attitude now. You go with brotherly love. And your aim is one. I want to gain my brother. I'm going to win my brother here.
Amen.
It may not take once, it may not take twice. There may be setbacks along the way. But I want to let brotherly love continue here.
Amen.
I don't want the devil to have preeminence here. I don't want the palmer worm to get the victory here. I'm going to go. And what does Jesus say? You go to him alone.
Amen.
The problem is we do exactly the opposite. I've said that to a lot of people recently. Please don't come to me. Go to the person. Don't come to me. Go to the person themselves. If you feel grieved, because Brother George said something, Brother Max said something, I preached something, the deacon said something. Yeah? Don't go to somebody else. Come to me. Go to Brother George. Go to Brother Max. Go to Brother Wilmore, the deacons. Go with brotherly love to say, I want this to be resolved. That's my motivation.
Amen.
This has now brought a gap between me and my brother. It's brought a gap between me and my sister. I don't want this to continue. I want brotherly love to continue.
Amen.
So you go with an aim and an objective to gain your brother.
Amen.
And friends, it's so helpful because if you come in the right spirit to me, if I have offended you, if you go to Brother Max, you go to Brother Wilmore, yeah? Maybe three people are grieved with me about something. Maybe I'm not aware of it. But if you come to me the right way, you come with virtue that the prophet said, come with meekness, put it across the right way. And you say to me, brother, you know, when you did such and such, it really stumbled me. I say, hey, brother, I'm really sorry. I didn't know that. Maybe tomorrow a sister comes to me the same thing, says, brother, when you did that, then I know that, oh, that was a problem. It's far more widespread than I thought. Let me address this problem. But if you just stay quiet and you just let it brood and resent, bring resentment inside of yourself, or you go to somebody else and you win disciples now to your way of seeing that situation, are we fixing anything here?
No.
Have you fixed anything?
No.
Is that a solution in any way? It's not a solution. So why do we do it? Why do we do it? The Bible says go to him. You and him alone.
Amen.
Go to him. If he hears you, you've gained your brother. But, look at the next verse. If he will not hear you, take with you one or two others.
Amen.
Now, sometimes people go to people with the Old Testament spirit on them. They go themselves and they say, okay, I'm going to go and speak to him because I'm angry. And when he doesn't accept what I say, I've already made up in my mind next time I'm coming with brother so-and-so and brother so-and-so. But we do. You're not going with the right motive. You're not trying to gain that person.
Amen.
If you're going yourself with brotherly kindness, you're not thinking of the next step. You're going with hope. You're going with faith. You're going with virtue. You're going with patience. You're going with temperaments. You're going with brotherly kindness now. You want it to be fixed. And don't forget, what is Jesus saying here? Who is going to the person? The person who's done nothing wrong. That's the most amazing thing. The person who's actually supposed to go there is the person who's been offended. Why? Because many times we offend people we don't know. Many times you do something, we disappoint somebody. You don't answer somebody back in time and the person's thinking, ah, that person's angry with me. Yeah? You phone. Somebody doesn't answer the phone. Ah, they don't want to speak to me anymore. You see how far the thoughts can go.
Amen.
But you know the key to it. Go to the person. Pick up the phone. Brother, I tried to phone yesterday. Was everything okay? Yes, I'm sorry, bro. I left my phone in the car. And then you feel really embarrassed. Because the Palmer woman was trying to tell you some other story.
Amen.
The Palmer woman was trying to bring a scandal where there was no scandal. And so many of the things, there's nothing to it.
Amen.
And the moment you just go with brotherly kindness and you speak to that person, you find there's a real, genuine, legitimate explanation that there was nothing to it.
Amen.
Sometimes we think about, why is brother so-and-so like this? You might see the brother so sick, but you don't know it.
Amen.
The person may be struggling in their spiritual life with certain things, burdens weighed upon them at that time that you know nothing of. But inside of your own imagination and understanding, you're condemning that person. You say, but they like this, and why don't they do that, and why don't they? But the prophet says, put yourself in their shoes.
Amen.
Try to get an understanding. Just say, but what could be the reason? Why is my brother not like that these days? Why are they not coming to fellowship with me anymore? Why are they not coming to church anymore? That's what brotherly kindness does.
Amen.
But if you will not hear ye, then take with you one or two more. And obviously, you know, the best people to take are people who have brotherly kindness. Because the aim is still to gain your brother.
Amen.
Even if you're going now, two or three of you, the aim is to look, brother, we want to get a reconciliation here.
Amen.
We want to get the Palmer worm out of this issue.
Amen.
We want to bring redemption. We want grace to come in. We want things to be fixed here. But don't go if that's not your motive, because you just make it worse.
Amen.
And then you get a whole lot of other people unnecessarily involved in something because you're not applying the scripture. Although, and sometimes you are applying the scripture, but not in the spirit that it's supposed to be applied. That's the important thing. And then it says, and if you neglect to tell them, then tell it unto the church. And if you neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. So we can just see straight away. Now listen how the prophet summarizes it in. He says, the next thing that, when he speaks about the root of bitterness, He says, so you see, after all, it is the experience of passing from death to life. Old things die and all things become new. Christ becomes real. Old things drop away. The old roots of carnality. You know how to dig a root out. We used to take a grubbing hoe and just get down at it and dig it till there wasn't a speck left in it. And they say, if there be any root of bitterness springing up unto you, grub her out. That's right. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It roots out all the roots. Dig them out. Pile them up. Burn them. Get rid of them. You'll get a good crop then if you do that. Can you see how much you've got to work at that? You've got to give some diligence. You've got to start to dig. You've got to make sure. Let me not leave any part of this root behind. Because the moment you leave a part of the root, it's going to spring up again. It's just a matter of time. And you see that time and time again. He says in Jehovah Jireh, he says, we know a seed when it falls in the right kind of ground. Not thorns or thistles that would choke it out. But every seed in the right kind of ground. Ground that's prepared and ready, grubbed out. That root of bitterness that springs up sometimes so spoils the things that God is trying to do. He's trying to sow the seed. He wants it to bring forth fruit to perfection, but you've got the thistles there. You've got the thorns there. You've got the resentment there. You've got the unforgiveness there. The moment that it starts to grow, it's going to choke it out. You've got to get in there with the Holy Ghost grubbing hole. And you've got to dirty your hands and put some sweat on your experience.
Amen.
And you've got to start digging and digging and digging until everything's taken out. And then you burn it so there's nothing left.
Amen.
And what a liberty it brings. What a liberty. And you'll think to yourself, but if I go to that person and say that, they'll never ever want to fellowship. No, it's exactly the opposite. When you go with the right spirit to somebody and there comes a reconciliation, that's what establishes your relationships.
Amen.
That's what makes the relationship the way that it's supposed to be. I'll finish with one more. Christ is the mystery. The prophet says, if the brother, you think he's a little wrong with the sister, say, Lord, don't let me never have the root of bitterness spring up.
Amen.
Because it'll affect him. It'll take the Christ right out of my life. Those poison acids of malice, jealousy, hatred, that will just take the Holy Spirit right away from you. It will run him from the tabernacle here. It will drive the Spirit of God, hurt your pastor. It will do everything. Don't you do that. Ah, friends, we're on the way to perfection. But there's one great one between us and perfection, and that's brotherly love. We can't get there until this one's right. We can't get there until this attribute is able to express itself the way Christ wants it to be expressed. And like I said, it's a very individual affair. Only you know what's inside of your bosom. Only you know what you meditate upon in secret. Only you know what passes through your mind and your spirit when you see somebody or someone comes to greet you or you see someone come up and give a testimony in church and something goes through you. Friends, be careful. Sometimes it's just birds of the air. Just let them keep flying over. But once it comes down and starts making its nest, be careful. Be careful, because you're not only going to trouble yourself, but you're going to defile many. And then the Holy Ghost is going to be grieved out of your experience. And one thing leads to another. It goes from bad to worse. It'll start off just as an influence. Then it becomes a deed. Then it becomes a doctrine. Then it becomes a monster that strips all of the fruit, strips all of the leaf, strips everything from your experience. And the life goes down right into the roots. But the good thing is, if you his workmanship, I will restore. Amen. I will restore. There comes a season of restoration that he'll draw near to and say, my son, my daughter, now's the right time. Seek me and then go and set this thing right. And if you seek him at the right season, our friends, you will see how the Holy Ghost comes down. How that brotherly kindness, how the compassion, how the kindness, how the tenderness starts wanting to express itself once again. And you'll find that Palmer Worm can't stand an atmosphere like that. He can't survive in an atmosphere like that where there's grace, where there's mercy, where there's goodness, where there's a desire to win your brother once again. So the prophet says, where are the problems? Where do they come in church? He says, we don't apply God's system. We don't apply the scriptures. So I'd say, friends, from today, let's apply the scriptures. Amen. Let's never let it be the way that it was before. Let's never be that we get our own little holy huddle and we discuss other people's affairs and this person did that. Let's follow the scripture. You go to him with the spirit of brotherly kindness burning inside of your soul. And you speak him and you and him alone or you and her alone and see what God will do. And if it becomes a bigger problem, of course, then we have to take it higher. If the person doesn't want to be reconciled and then somebody else gets involved, well, then we've got to take it further from there. But I'm persuaded with the sons and daughters of God, those things are not necessary among the elect. If you go the right way, see how God will bless the very things that you do. So may God help us. Let's stand, saints. Paul said, let brotherly love continue, friends. We need to work at it. We need to work at it. May the Lord help us. Just ask the musicians to come. Before we come to baptism today, why don't we just speak to the Lord a little bit, yeah? Don't make any rash vows, but if there's something inside of your experience now, if there's something inside of your heart against somebody, maybe it's been there much longer than you ever expected it to be. Why don't you just lay it on the altar today? Amen. The prophet says the power of a committal. To commit something to the Lord. Said, Lord, I want to commit this to you. But you can't just leave it there. Because he has his part and you have your part. But say, Lord, I want the spirit of brotherly love. I want the spirit to come and energize my brotherly love. That I might go with the right motive. Lord, that I might go with the right atmosphere around me, that your will may be done. Just keep it in your heart and lay it upon the altar as we sing a song there, brother.
The way down with Lord, and I need your power. Show me the way, Lord. Show me. Oh, Lord, you are my guide. Show me the way. Said I am down here. But I am your child. Lord, I'm your child. Oh Lord, I'm your child. Lord, I'm your child. Said I am down. I'm down in love. Show me the way, but I am your child. Oh, I'm your child. Oh, returning back to you, Lord. Child. Oh Lord, you said there's forgiveness coming, oh, and I need your power. Show me the way. Show me the way, Lord. Show me the way. Show me the way. Said I am coming, Lord, and I need your power. Show
shown you the way, then you say, here am I, Lord, send me. Let's sing one more, Brother George. Let's come to pray.
Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, to the place where I first received. Oh, please, Lord, take me back. Take me back. Take me back. Take me back, Lord. Take me back, please, Lord. Take me back to the place where I first received you. Take me back, take me back. Take me back, dear Lord. Where I first received.
And the message, the coming of the Lord. Imagine the message the prophet preached, the coming of the Lord. He spoke about the woman and the 10 coins. Oh, and those were the virtues that her husband had entrusted her with. And she lost her coin. And she's a type of the church. She's a type of you and I. And when she realized she had lost one of the coins, something that she used to have that she didn't have anymore, she gave all diligence. She wasn't going to leave it like that because she knew her husband was coming soon. She wanted to be pleasing to him. So she took the light, she took the word, she took the lamp, she took the candle. And she went and she searched and she got the broom and she was searching everywhere in her home. She tried to say, I need to find it. I had it at one stage, but I don't have it anymore. Oh, if that's your experience, friends, because of the things that you've been through, why not take the broom now? Why not go and pray before the Lord and say, Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. Take me back, as the song has said. Take me back to where I was when I first believed. Take me back, Lord, to the brotherly kindness that I used to have. And there may be specific instances the Lord's going to show you inside of your life. He's going to say, you lost the coin of brotherly kindness because of this with this person. Amen. Give all diligence, my friend. Amen. Because he said, I will restore, saith the Lord, all of the years of the palmer worm. Amen. It doesn't matter what the palmer worm did. The Lord said, I will restore.
Amen.
Let's speak to the Lord. Let's come before Him in prayer. Let's just be honest before Him, friends. Amen. These are such sacred and important things. It's so important for you. It's so important for our church that this word becomes flesh in us. That these things be resolved. May the Lord help us. Let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray for one another. Let's say, Father, take me back. I'm seeking for the coin. Let's enter to prayer. Let's open the book of Acts chapter 2. Let's come to baptism. We're so glad for our brother that's made such a wonderful choice to follow Christ. And it's a good thing as well for him to know what lays before.
Amen.
And that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual. To know that others have made shipwreck, but there's no need for him to make a shipwreck of his faith. Because he can learn from the footsteps in the sands of time. Let's just read Acts 2 verse 37 and up to 39. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So we're so glad the Lord's called our brother. And the Lord's made a wonderful promise that in this calling is the greatest of gifts, the gift of the Holy Ghost. And may that be his portion. Let's bow heads. Heavenly Father, as we come towards baptism now, oh Father, we think of the early church. We think, Lord, of the brotherly love that was among them and how you brought thousands in a day. Oh, you could so trust your church at that time, Lord, because of the brotherly kindness, Lord, that flowed forth from them. Father, we thank you that you've trusted us, Lord, with our brother upon this day. Oh, Father, how we pray that you would take him, Lord, that as he's baptized, Father, please, Lord, fill him with your glory. May he be a wave sheaf to his family, Lord, to the community that he's in, Lord. May he be the first fruits. May he be a pioneer, Lord, that you'd lead him and guide him to open the way, that many others would enter in after him. Father, bless my brother. Thank you for delivering him last week. Thank you for your grace there, Lord. What a natural type of a spiritual truth that you've given to him, Lord. Bless our baptism, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Do you want to get ready for the baptism, bro? Let's worship as he gets ready for the baptism. Jesus loves me. I don't know why.
Sacrificed his life, oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad he did. Where would I be today? Would love to be when Jesus didn't love me? Where would I be? Where would I be? Where would I be if he hadn't sacrificed his life? Oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad. I don't know why.
I don't know why.
Oh, but I'm grateful you love me, Lord. Oh, what grace you did for me. I don't know why. He sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad he did. He left his mighty throne in glory. Mighty throne in glory, whoa, to bring to us redemption's story. Then he died, but he rose again. Oh, but I'm glad, I'm so glad he did. I don't know why. Oh, thank you, Lord. I don't know why. Sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad he did. Where would I be today? Where would I be if Jesus didn't love me? Where would I be? Where would I be? Where would I be if he hadn't sacrificed his life? Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad he did. I don't know why. Oh, I don't know why. Oh, I don't know why. He sacrificed his life. Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad he did. Oh, but I'm glad. I'm so glad he did.
Happy day.
Oh, happy day. This is my joy. Oh, be my Savior and my God. Joyful, oh, rejoice until His hand shows over. Happy day, happy day.
friends, it's wonderful today to baptize a Patrick. Amen. Would be even better if it was St. Patrick's Day. But it really, really shows that God has his people everywhere. Now, the brother, he's come from a real rough background. He's been through a lot of things inside of his life. But Jesus has found him. And he's found Jesus. And that's the most important thing. And we really just desire that the Lord will take him on from now. And use him as a light. Use him as a witness in this age. As to the redeeming power of grace. Let's pray for our brother before we baptize. And Father, even as you baptize our brother, we're just thinking, Lord, of the goodness that you've expressed and have shown to him already, Lord. Father, he's prepared his heart, Lord. Won't you bless him now as he goes inside of these waters, Lord? Oh, Father, to be buried with you in baptism, Lord.
Amen.
Father, we pray that, Lord, you with your transforming power, let all things pass away. Amen. Let all things indeed become new. In Jesus' name. Brother Patrick, you are testifying today of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You trust in him and no other. You're trusting in him for your salvation, for your redemption.
Hallelujah.
All others. Therefore, I baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 Amen. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, just on the basis of your promise now, Father, you said if you are baptized, if you repent and be baptized in your name, oh, Father, the gift of the Holy Ghost. Father, fill our brother with your glory in the inner veil, we pray.
Hallelujah.
Father, pray with your spirit, Lord, inside of his soul. Let the power of the resurrection raise him from the dead even now. Father, to newness of life in Christ Jesus, Lord. Open the way to him into heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we pray. Use him as a witness. Bless his family, Lord. Bring them in with you.
Amen.
Bless my brother in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you, brother.
Surely around me, this world comes down. Surely around me, the door to heaven is found. And
the best that we can.
These are the days of Elijah.
Hallelujah.
The time of the high. Oh, and these are the days of the servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And oh, these are days of the high. These are the days of Ezekiel, the tribes becoming as flesh. And these are the days of your servant, David, rebuilding the temple. Oh, and these are the days of the harvest, the fields are as white as they were. At the trumpet call, lift your voice, it's year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's in salvation comes. There's no one like Jehovah, there's no one like Jehovah, there's no one like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. There's no God like Jehovah. Behold, He comes, riding on the cloud, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice. It's a year of Jubilee, not of science itself. Oh, behold, behold, He comes, riding on the cloud. Amen.
Coming from the east, coming from the west,
coming from the north and from the south, where the rainbow trouts are gathered by a shout, production on the summer to seven pool. We have seen the Lord, His word, He promised through the prophet to return, to write this trail again, to reveal His new name, to teach the bride to prophesy again.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, coming from the east,
coming from the west, coming from the north and from the south. Where the rainbow drops, that
that watch come, we've seen our names beneath the seven seas. Oh, in the light of the stories, and the seven days. Hallelujah! Fire fall, Father, glorify thy name. You did it once before in the life of Malachi 4. So Father, glorify thy name.
We can't finish without singing one of them.
Amen.
Whenever somebody new comes in, we need to sing one of them. Our brother Patrick and I will sing today, I'm glad that I can say I'm one of them. Many aren't happy to be one of them today, I don't know why, but I'm glad to be one of them.
Amen. One of them.
I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm glad, one of them. Hallelujah, I'm one of them. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
We are people almost given, whose hearts are in a flame,
with the fire that fell like Pentecost. Burning now within my spirit to his. I'm so glad that I can say, aren't you glad you can say you are one of them? Hey, one of them. I'm glad. Hey, one of them. One of them. Hallelujah, I am one of them. I'm so glad. Can say one of them. People may not believe the boast of worldly fame. They have no received the Pentecost. And I'm telling now, both far and wide, do the same. I'm so glad that I can say, aren't you glad you can say you are one of them? Hallelujah. I am glad, I'm so glad that I can say I am one of them. One of them. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say one of them. Gathering the apple, we're praying in his name. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost when powerful service came. Now what he did for them that day, for you the same. I'm so glad that I can say I am glad I can say I'm one of them. Hallelujah. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. Oh, one of them. I'm glad, I'm glad. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them. When the brothers in this place, they say you're from sin. That will stop the joy bells ringing and will keep the soul aflame. It is burning out of me. Oh, I'm so glad that I can say,
one of them.
Amen.
We just ask Brother Will to come and close for us, please, in a word of prayer. Just a couple of announcements as the brother comes. Please be in prayer for me next weekend. I'm away in Wales with the saints, Brother Mirek Zalish and the saints in Wales, so I ask for prayer there. Then the following weekend, the following Friday, the 10th of June, is communion. That's not this Friday, but the following Friday. Communion service, Friday evening.
Mm-hmm.
And just one announcement. We had a meeting with the trustees, treasurer, and so forth. A while back, trying to find a better way to handle certain things. Just really wanted from today, gave the brothers a bit of grace last week, but any financial assistance, any help, any need, please go through the deacons, if you could. A lot of people do come to me. I know we've always had that kind of a system since we started, but really asking saints, if anybody does need any financial help, if you're in a hard time, whatever it is, the saints, please, let's channel that through the deacons. It'll help us to put a better order in the way we do our things. So we just ask Brother Will if you'd come and kindly pray for us. May the Lord bless you as we depart.
Heavenly Father,
yes,
we thank you so much, Lord. Father, we love you for your grace and your mercy. Father, you had anointed for this day to be the way that it was. Lord, you had prepared this word that it would come and reveal the enemy. And Father, we
Amen.
Could see even in the events that unfolded, Lord, that the enemy was not happy to be revealed and be exposed, for he tried to bring in disturbances, Lord, sicknesses in the children, the equipment, and this and that. But through it all, oh God, we are so thankful that, like always, you have prevailed, oh Lord. And we want to say, oh God, let it be that today would even look in our hearts, Lord, and the harbors, Lord, what we are harboring in the ships that are, oh, in our harbor of our hearts, Father, that, Lord, if there be anything that is hidden in there, Lord, that is contrary to your word, contrary to your spirit, Father, let it not stay in my heart, but that, Lord, I would go
Amen.
The provided way and fight it, Lord. Today, oh Father, we claim our ground, the holy ground that you have given us. The enemy had put us on the run for a long time, but today he has been exposed. His bluff has been called. Father, we see him for what he is, that he would like to destroy brotherly kindness, Lord, and keep us from our blessings, and keep us, Lord, living under our privileges. But today, Father, we claim victory over this enemy, that he is defeated, he is exposed, and he has no room in this place. We claim it, Lord, for your glory, that, Lord, whatever we do going forward, whatever we say in our hearts, Lord, Father, that it would be only to the glory of your name, oh Father, that it would be according to your will, that whatever we do, Father, we may display that characteristic, Lord, of brotherly kindness one to another. We pray, oh God, that you would bless our pastor, Lord, for putting himself out of the way to bring these things. Father, in our own nature, we would want to run away from bringing such a word, but Lord, you have ordained it, Lord, that he would do so. May you bless him, Lord, and let this word not be in vain, but that it may achieve what you have sent it for, Lord. Help us, Father, that we may submit ourselves, no matter how hard it may seem, no matter how unjust we may reason to think it is, but Father, your word is the way of life. We take your word today, Father, that you would lead us through it, Father, until you have achieved that which you want to be achieved in this place. Bless our brother Andrew, Lord, as he goes to Wales next week. We ask, Father, that you use him there. Lord, we see how the enemy is, Lord, oh God, trying to destroy every local assembly. Father, we pray today, Father, that you would inspire him, Lord, to bring a word that would strengthen the brethren there, oh God. Father, we ask it for your glory. Bless our visitors that were in our midst.
Amen.
Lord, we commit each and every one of them, Lord, into your hands, that they may have received something that would help them also in their journey. Father, we pray for our brother Patrick, the testimony, Lord. Father, seeing what you are doing in his life, I pray you'd strengthen him, Lord. I pray you'd equip him, Father, that when the enemy comes, Lord, your word will continue to prevail in his life, Lord. Bless our little children. Bless the ministry in this place, Lord. Father, we just want to commit ourselves to you, Lord. Until we would meet again, we commit everything into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Sing one as we dismiss, Brother George. God bless you, everybody.
Oh Lord, you are so gracious to me. Oh Lord, you are so gracious to me. And I love you. Yes, I love you because you first loved me. Because you first loved me. I love him, I love him. Keeps holding me.